Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 40th voyage. I'm the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Hello.
What we do here and what we've done for each of the past 40 weeks is we take 25 to 30 minutes and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
It was that week, Alan. It was the week we've been looking forward to.
I know I was looking forward to it.
Paw Patrol the movie officially came out.
Oh, that is not what I was looking forward to, but go on.
I will say I was dreading it because I'm like, it's my first time taking my son to a movie theater. I was like, oh, is he going to behave? Is this movie, is it going to suck? Like, blah, blah. I can tell you as someone who's seen every episode of Paw Patrol like six times over, the animation was amazing. It's like Pixar level animation. So they like look really awesome. And when they started doing the Paw Patrol theme song and the dogs started running out and you could see their individual hairs of fur and stuff, I was like, yes, I'm into this. Let's go. I'm like, this is what I've living for. My whole life has come up to this point.
Seems more like what your son's reaction should have been, but all
oh,
right.
He was also very into it. Like, they've, since COVID, they've invested in the movie theater, so now they're all big chairs, and they're all, like, faux leather, and they rock back and forth. So anytime any of the Paw Patrol members were doing anything, my son was like, I'm like, man, there's people behind you. Like, you gotta just chill. And he cried twice during our time at the movie theater. He cried.
Oh, was it because there were sad parts in the movie?
There were sad parts in the movie, most notably Kim Kardashian's acting. But, oh, burn! It was when I told him, hey, you have to use your inside voice because, like, you can't be like, go, Chase, go! Go! At the top of your lungs, because there's other people around. And then at the end, he started crying. She's like, I want there another movie. I want another movie. I'm like, that's not how that works.
Well, that's a common reaction to good movies like the Paw Patrol movies. So,
yeah, you just end up crying.
Crying.
I will say, though, they had a great shout out to Paw Patrol's Canadian roots.
Oh?
Yeah, because it's developed in Canada. So, you're welcome, world. Just another great thing we've given you. The opening scene is this guy who looks to be driving an oil tanker, and he gets run off the bridge in Adventure Bay and is dangling over the water in his oil tanker, and Chase saves the day because he's awesome.
Thank goodness.
And then the oil tanker splits open, and they're like, oh no, an oil spill! And he's like, ho ho ho, that's not oil, that's grade A Canadian maple syrup.
And that's how we transport it.
And then Rubble says, looks like we'll need to use our special tools to clean this up. And then he takes out a bunch of waffles. Spoiler. Spoiler alert.
Ooh.
I should have said that beforehand. Now the movie is ruined.
Well, it's okay. I wasn't going to watch it anyway. I, unlike you, have no reason.
He was disappointed that you weren't. We were driving home and he's like, Daddy, maybe we can watch this again? With Grandpa Dan and Uncle Alan? I was like, maybe. If you can convince Uncle Alan to come up and watch it with you. Sure.
Good luck, considering he can't say many words.
He can say many words. He just chooses not to. I use all the words.
You do. You use all the words for everyone.
Well, that was my week. It was just building up to that Sunday afternoon matinee.
I bet it was worth it.
What did you get into this week?
Not tons. I kind of made fun of our cousin's baby, but obviously not her face, because that'd be rude.
It would be rude. I sent them the music video for the song Otis by Jay-Z and Kanye West. She didn't say if she liked it.
Is that a child-appropriate song?
Probably not, but it's a parent-appropriate song.
Fair enough.
So that's it. You made fun of family. Okay.
I mean, that's usually my week anyway. I went to karaoke again.
Again? Fourth time in three weeks,
something like that. I was gonna go a second time.
You should get a membership. Sunday,
but I go to two different places.
Oh, you gotta be loyal, man.
Then they need to have karaoke more than once a week.
Ah. Oh well, Alan, let's move on to segment number one this week. Some fascinating facts. As always, Alan, I've scoured the internet for some of the strangest, fascinating facts throughout human history, and I will rapid-fire them at you blindly and get your reaction.
Okay, I will close my eyes.
Number one. Maybe, Alan, this will be a question for you. Can you guess what a group of unicorns is called? I almost said uniforms. A group of unicorns, what are they called?
A group of uniforms is a team. A group of unicorns is a herd.
No.
No? Isn't that what a group of horses is called?
True, but a group of unicorns is officially called a blessing.
Oh.
So when you see unicorns in the wild, you can say, oh, there's a blessing of unicorns.
Oh, makes sense. I would have looked foolish next to all my friends when I saw a herd of unicorns.
And now you can look
still
intelligent.
Still sound like an idiot.
Except you'll probably be on drugs at the time and you'll forget. Or you could look at a herd of horses and go, hey, if they had horns coming out of their faces, they
That'd
would
be
a blessing. Number two, Alan. Genetically speaking, mushrooms are more closely related to animals than plants.
Oh, well, that's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I thought they were a plant.
It's a fungus.
That's super weird, though. I don't know. I don't like thinking that we're related to mushrooms.
Are humans more closely related to plants than mushrooms?
I didn't dig into it that much. It just said animals. More closely related to animals than plants.
I wonder if it's, like, specific animals. Like, they're really closely related to...
like a sloth. They don't move a lot.
Yeah. Like a turtle.
Maybe. Number three, Alan. This one has to do with your favorite tongue twister.
Oh, I love twisting tongues.
She sells seashells by the seashore is actually thought to be inspired by a female paleontologist from the 1800s. She actually sold dinosaur bones and fossilized seashells.
Hmm. That makes way more sense. Because if you were selling regular seashells by the seashore, I feel like that's a terrible business plan. People can just find them for free.
Exactly. Her name was Mary Anning, and she was a 19th century paleontologist. She discovered many ancient animals, and her main claim to fame was she was one of the first people to discover fossilized poop.
Oh, well, if there's one thing you want to be known for, it's fossilized poop.
Apparently the male scientists were just like throwing these rocks away, and she was one of the first people to crack them open and be like, hey, this is something.
Hey, it smells weird in here.
I don't think fossilized poop smells.
Well, you wouldn't know now, would you?
That would have been a heck of a poop if it kept its smell after millions of years. But due to the fact that she was uneducated and a woman, many men of the time just simply took credit for her discoveries.
Oh.
Well done, Mary. Go back to your house. Hey, guess what? Mary discovered a T-Rex. I'm going to take credit.
That guy sounds like he's the worst.
Like most men are, as we seem to True. Go over weekly on this.
Yeah. Men are terrible.
Number four, Alan, and this one will hit close to home for you. Iceland has a dating app designed to stop you from dating a relative.
Oh, is that a problem in Iceland? Are there that many people that are related?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because many, many people are descended from essentially the few tribes that lived on Iceland, like the Vikings or whatever, the Nordic people who moved to Iceland, the few of them, they're all basically descended from them. So essentially, the app... it just says you bump phones and it emits what they call an incest prevention alarm if you are related.
That sounds super useful. I'm hoping that when I try dating apps, that's not a problem that I run into.
Not necessary?
I don't think I'm related to that many people in Canada.
I hope not.
I don't even know how that would happen.
I just love an incest prevention alarm. Also, their slogan is amazing. Bump the app before you bump in bed.
Smart.
Smart, yeah. I mean, it's catchy.
I'm surprised that didn't make our slogan rank.
Well, I didn't know about it until now. Now it would be number one. Screw you, K-Jewelers. Every bump begins with, whatever the Icelandic dating app is. I was going to put the name in here, but I didn't want to try to speak Icelandic for the second week in a row. I did it so well last week.
So well the first time.
Then I'm like, no, leave it. Leave it where it is. In North Korea, you're only allowed to choose from 28 possible haircuts. 14 for men and 14 for women.
So really, you're only able to choose from 14 possible haircuts.
Yeah, unless you're a really feminine man or a really manly lady and you can pass.
Fair enough.
That explains the dictator dude's haircut. I only had 14 options.
Trust me, you don't want to see the other 13.
Yeah, they're terrible. Skullet is one of them. Actually, 10 of them are just different kinds of mullets.
One's the, like, inverse mohawk, where it's just shaved down the middle.
Oh, like the weird clown haircut? One is the Homer Simpson?
You're allowed 3 hairs on your head.
In 1907, a woman was arrested on a beach in Boston for wearing a one-piece swimsuit. Interestingly, her name was Annette Kellerman, and she actually went on to revolutionize female swimwear. After this incident, she started her own line of female swimsuits.
Was it also one-piece swimsuits?
Yes.
Oh.
Because they're revolutionary.
Why was she arrested?
Because she was deemed to be, like, wearing inappropriate attire or whatever.
To a beach. She was wearing a swimsuit.
Yes. To a beach. So earlier today, I sent you 2 photos. The first one is Annette Kellerman in that one-piece swimsuit. This is actually not the exact one. This is her from the catalog of swimsuits that her company would do later. Okay. And the other photo is what a traditional woman in 1907 would wear to the beach.
Ah, I see. So one's a dress and the other's a swimsuit.
Yeah, one's a dress with like full tights. Like the only skin you see is her elbows. Elbows
and
there.
Face.
Yeah, how is she supposed to go swimming in this?
Yeah, that sounds like a terrible idea.
I would say, ironically, like, this wasn't, like, maybe men were just so not used to female skin that they're like, oh, this is completely inappropriate. Like, she's showing her knees, but...
And her shoulders.
The dress is arguably more attractive. I don't even think arguably. The dress is clearly more attractive.
Yes.
So it's not an attractive thing. She's just like, I want to swim. And this is an effective swimming attire. This dress, I will drown.
It's just aerodynamic.
Yeah, I will drown in this in this dress.
And these tights will never come off if I get them wet.
Oh. Funny enough, the little boy in the picture behind the lady in the dress looks like he's wearing one of the one-piece swimming suits that Annette was wearing. I know he's not, but that's basically what it looks like. It looks like Annette cut the sleeves off a t-shirt and then just sewed a pair of
shorts
to them that were the exact same color.
Yep. It's too scandalous. You can see her shoulders.
Yeah. I mean, and if her hair, though, that's some big hair, too. I do like her pose. Like, once again, I don't think it's supposed to be an attractive pose, but it definitely isn't. Like, maybe sex didn't sell back then. Like, she's like, I like to swim.
She's just, like, flexing.
Yeah. But, like, a weird part of her body, like a side muscle.
Which you can't see under the swimsuit.
Selfies cause more deaths than shark attacks.
I believe it. Selfies are monsters. Sharks are sweethearts.
I just want to see, like, coming 2022, the Discovery Network, Selfie Week.
I was thinking Selfie NATO.
Shark Week wasn't dangerous enough for you, so now we've got Selfie Week.
For people who really like to be terrified.
It's people taking selfies in the... in the ocean near sharks, but then they're just drowning. They're not... The sharks are just like, these people are stupid. What are they doing? They know that's not a good angle.
So wait, do you have any, like, follow-up facts on how this works? Like, how are people just not paying attention and, like, they're like, oh, I'm going to take a selfie while I cross the road and get hit by a car? Like, what is going on?
I assume it's just pure stupidity. Like, I'm going to take a selfie in a dangerous place. I didn't look up specifics because, you know, we don't like speaking of deaths here. Funny enough, the last fact of today is a death fact, but that's two facts away. Or three facts away. Next up, Alan, in ancient Rome, lemons were used as an antidote for all poisons.
Oh, is that why people died so often?
That's what I thought. Like, didn't we have another one where it talked about, like, eating bats or something? Or eating mice was, like, a cure at one point? Weird. Yeah, that was ancient Egypt. That was different. The Romans were more advanced. They were just like,
just
lemons.
Put some lemon juice on
it. The answer for everything. It's like, I think it's Chris Rock who has a joke that, like, his mother was always like, just put Robitussin. Robitussin cures it all. That's what ancient Romans were like. Just lemons. Just give them lemons.
Throw some lemons on that.
Lemons. I put that on everything. Do you know, Alan, the world record for longest time between births of twins is 87 days.
Is that the... Is that in the world?
Yes. So back in 2013, a mother was pregnant with twins. She gave birth to one twin 4 months early, but the other twin didn't come out and wasn't ready to. So then that pregnancy she carried all the way to term. So the twins were actually born 87 days apart.
Oh, that's weird.
Super weird.
And then, like, that's... That's so weird, because...
Then they have different birthdays.
Yeah, and then is the one old... Like, every time you see twins in, like, media, it's like, oh, I'm 7 minutes older than you. Is this kid like, I'm 3 months older than you?
Is that your impression of all twins?
It's my impression of everyone.
Hey, I'm so much smarter. I'm half an inch taller than you.
It's because I'm 3 months older than you.
And finally, Alan, in 1923, jockey Frank Hayes won a race at Belmont Park in New York despite being dead. He suffered a heart attack mid-race but managed to stay on the saddle until the horse crossed the line for a 20-1 victory. So not only did he die and win, he was also a huge underdog.
You're not going to beat a dead guy.
Well, I don't think... Do you think the other jockeys knew? Like, I assume the horses are making really loud noises. And people in the stands have no idea what happens. Like, he fell asleep.
And still won.
Skills. Talk about giving your heart to your sport.
I wonder if his horse knew.
Probably. Animals have that weird instinct. Except cats. They'll just eat you.
So do you think it ran faster? Because it's like, man, I have to finish this race and get him
to
the hospital.
I got a dead guy on me. I got ew.
Very different direction.
Put that wreath of roses around my neck so I can smell something that's not dead. Alan, this week, like I said, I went to the Paw Patrol movie. So let's do a movie-themed random rank. On this week's Random Rank, in honor of my voyage to the Paw Patrol movie in theaters, we are counting down our top three favorite movie theater treats. Would you like to give us your number three, Alan?
My number three pick is slushies, because the movie theater is really the only place you can get them, and it's the only place that I really want to get them.
Except convenience stores, but they don't look as good at convenience stores.
Yeah, they really don't. I think it's the machine. Like, the machine looks like it was taken out of, like, a back alley somewhere and just stuck on the thing. Whereas they have, like, professional, like...
Oh, yeah, they're pristine.
Slush puppies or icies.
Yeah,
or...
I'm not a slushy fan, but I do think they look much creamier at movie theaters than the ice-heavy ones at, like, 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they are much better at movie theaters. And I don't get them... all the time, which is why they're not higher on my list, because I am partial to soft drinks such as Coke when I'm at the movies. But they're
a nice treat.
They're a nice treat. And it's when you want a slushy at a movie, it's you want a slushy at a movie. And it's
you are so wise.
I am very good at this language. I just think they're delicious. And obviously, you always have to get it mixed.
Yeah,
you can't just get one flavor or the other.
You're not a monster.
Exactly.
Well, mine is controversial only for those who know me, because you think it would be much higher on the list because it is my favorite food. My number three is the hot dog, the movie theater hot dog.
Is the movie theater hot dog just worse than a normal hot dog?
No, my concern is with everything. So I love a good movie theater hot dog, but I agree, yes, they may not be as high up there as other hot dogs, but it's mostly like the accoutrement that comes with it. They just give it to you in like the shiny rolled up paper stuff that keeps it warm, which is fine.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like tinfoil on the outside.
Yeah, so it sometimes gets it a little moist, which is never good for the bun. And no. Then you can't get it like, I don't know, maybe there are fancy places where you can get it dressed for you, but not the movie theaters we go to, Cineplex. None of those, they like, you have to go to the weird side thing where it's like, look at all the toppings we have, but they all look like they've been sneezed on like 75 times.
Or been like, sitting there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and the ketchup and mustard come out of this pump that has like that dried ketchup and mustard around the outside. And you're like, oh, don't get on my hot dog, don't get on my hot dog. So you end up just eating it plain. It's still good, but given the fact that I take like my life into my own hands, one could argue anytime I eat a hot dog, I don't want more danger by adding the stuff that is kept poorly and looks disgusting at the movie theater. But it's still good enough to be number three. I can't ever drop hot dogs completely. What is your number two, Alan?
My number two pick is, it's a candy, and I don't know if it's super popular, but this is also something that I've only ever seen at the movie theaters, and these are these Lifesaver sour gummies, and I don't know if you've ever had them. I assume not.
I love them. They're my absolute favorite. When I went, well, not my absolute favorite. My absolute favorite would be my number one. I was very disappointed this week when I went to see the Paw Patrol movie, and they did not have any. They only had Jolly Rancher gummies. I'm like, oh, get out of here.
Okay, but yeah, then you get it. These are just the best gummies.
They are so good.
And I've never found them anywhere that isn't a movie theater.
I see them at the drugstore, but they charge like movie theater prices at the drugstore. So if they're on sale, I'll grab them. But if not, they're exclusively, but they're like a movie theater treat. But they're like the right amount of sour. They have like that Jolly Rancher level of flavor.
Yeah.
But the sour level is better than sour Jolly Rancher stuff.
Yeah. And overall, they just taste better than Jolly Ranchers.
I think the gummy itself is better, but higher quality gummy.
And there's something about the like Lifesaver shape that I just like.
Yeah, it's playful.
Yeah.
My number two is actually kind of the opposite of my number one. It's something I don't really like in the rest of the world, but at movie theaters, I love. And it is movie theater nachos.
Oh, I was wondering where you're going with that.
I love them mostly because our movie theaters offer a dog and nacho combo, so you can get both.
Oh.
I was going to put that as number one, but I was like, no, they're two separate things. But something about the disgustingly salty tortilla chips that come with them, because everything at movie theaters is like crazy salty, so you buy more drinks. And the like really weird cheese whizzy disgusting looking cheese.
It's just warm cheese whiz.
Yeah, the combination though, it just works. In my regular world, I would never eat that. Like, it's disgusting. I don't think I've ever bought cheese whiz ever because it's gross.
Good decision.
But when you put it on and always the tortilla chips are too big for the dip spot they give you. Like, the dip spot is like an inch or two, like 3 or 4 centimeters wide, and the chip is like 3 inches wide, or like 10 centimeters wide. It's this big. Oh, yeah. It doesn't fit. Surprise!
The only way you're getting it is if you like break it and wedge it in.
Yeah, and then you always run the risk of like, did I dip too much? And I'm gonna get out of the movie theater, and I'm gonna be covered in cheese. Because I've had that before where I get up and there's like a big cheese crusty splotch on my jeans. It's like, oh no, you got me.
Not
again.
Again,
movie theater nachos. What is your favorite movie theater snack, Alan?
Number one.
My number one favorite movie snack is probably the most classic thing that I can think of when I think of movie theaters, and that's popcorn. And I'm not talking about your popcorn with your weird salt and vinegar powder or your cheddar or like caramel corn or whatever. I'm just talking regular layered buttered popcorn.
Oh, you gotta do the layered. I'll say the only place I eat popcorn is at the movie theater. And I don't eat, I'm not a popcorn guy, but there's something about that really, really unhealthy movie theater popcorn that is like, I need a whole bag.
Yeah, it just does. And like, I can't eat very much in like one sitting, but I will eat I'll usually get people be like, ooh, can I have some of your popcorn? Absolutely not. I ordered a large popcorn because I'm going to eat an entire large popcorn in the next 2.5 hours.
My wife and I got a large popcorn on Sunday, and half of it is still in our pantry being snacked on today.
Weak. I can't not get popcorn in a movie. I could have just eaten a 6-course meal. I'll still get a popcorn at a movie theater. I need it in my hands when I'm watching it.
My number one, Alan, I don't know if I'd call it a classic, but it's a candy. It is my, other than the Lifesavers gummies, is my go-to. I probably enjoy it the most. It is almond M&Ms. I've actually spoken about this before on the show, but I love almond M&Ms. There's not really, I'm not going to go in too much description. They're just delicious. You get a bit more chocolate than you would with a normal M&M. I don't particularly love the taste of peanuts. Like, I love peanut butter, but I'm not like, ooh, give me some peanuts by themselves. But almonds, that just, it elevates everything. It's delicious. If you want to be that person, which I am, who puts them in with the popcorn and you get the salty and the sweet, delicious.
Disgusting.
I take the rest of the bag home. I'm going to have a couple more left in the bag tonight that I'm going to have after we're done recording this. So it is just a lovely, lovely treat that once again is something I only buy at the movie theaters. I don't go out and buy
almond M&Ms
ever, right? Like Reese Cups, sure. Coffee Crisp, yes. Kit Kats, yes. Almond M&Ms, no. That's movie theater food, baby.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And other than the fact that you put candy in your popcorn and make it terrible, which I guess does show you have vile eating habits.
Or refined. I like a mix of a layered approach to my flavor profiles, Alan.
Okay, psychopath.
Well, we're just about to dock here and end this week's voyage. But before we do want to remind you, hit us up on Instagram at randomshipthepodcast or shoot us an email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. Before we cruise into the harbor this week, Alan, give the people what they want. What is this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is the Vasa was a Swedish warship that sank in 1628 and recovered in 1961. After spending centuries in the water, the boat was still completely intact and in good shape. It's the only vessel left from the 17th century, currently at the Vasa Museum of Stockholm.
Okay, I remember this name. You have mentioned this boat before. What have you mentioned this boat in?
The Vasa?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Give me a sec.
You have mentioned this boat before.
I don't think so. I'm usually pretty diligent of not repeating ship facts.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're...
I've purposely not mentioned that one boat multiple times because you got sad the last time I did.
Yeah, it's exactly the one I thought. This is the ship that friggin' sank super quickly.
Oh yeah, it was.
You're forgetting your ship facts. This is the ship that sank like really quickly. And that,
yeah,
maybe that's
shortest maiden voyage. You're right.
Yeah, maybe that's why it was so easy to recover because it didn't even go anywhere. It's crazy it took them that long to recover it. They could have just grabbed it.
It was only a couple meters off of the port.
I like how you've done so many ship facts here in episode 40 that you're not repeating them, but you're combining them and forgetting about it.
Hey, it's a different fact about the same ship.
About the same ship. If you didn't want to look at the Vasa before, now you have to plan a trip to Stockholm.
There's an entire museum for it.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining us this week.
And have a great week, everybody. And I'm not talking about your popcorn with your weird salt and vinegar powder or your cheddar or like caramel corn or whatever. I'm just talking regular layered buttered popcorn.